From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Thursday edition, is it time to reopen America? That's our sole topic for today. I don't do this often, but I'm focusing on this topic for the entire program. Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus and a member of the president's Opening Up America Again Congressional Working Group, is here to talk about restoring the strength of our economy. And then later, Kansas Congressman Roger Marshall, a medical doctor who has been working with coronavirus patients, gives us a look at the health risk. The media has been rolling out polls suggesting people are fearful of venturing out and going to work. But there are more than just two options, stay home or go to work. What are Americans really thinking? Scott Rasmussen, pollster and political analyst, joins me to answer that question. And I'm sure you've been listening to the back and forth from those who say stay at home and those who are saying open up yesterday. What does a reasonable, safe way forward that protects our health and our freedoms look like? Former mayor of Cincinnati, Ohio's Ken Blackwell is here. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. And all right, I'm gonna let the cat out the bag. I have a poll question for you today, and I'm going to give it to you right out of the chute. Here's the question. Do you believe it is time for state and local officials to give more freedom to individuals, churches, businesses, and restaurants, trusting them to balance the coronavirus health risk with reopening society? What do you think? Text radio to 53445, 53445, and I'm going to give you the results at the end of the program. All right, joining me now is my good friend Andy Biggs. He serves as Arizona's 5th Congressional District Representative. He's also, as I mentioned, the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, and he's been tapped by the president to serve on the Opening Up America Again Congressional Working Group. Congressman Biggs, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be with you.
Well, you've been beating this drum for a while that we need to take a reasonable look at what's happening and unfolding before us. And our economy is a serious issue. The unemployment lines that are growing by the day is a very serious issue. And we need to be able, as the president is advocating for, to balance the risk to our health from this virus while at the same time restarting our economy.
Yes, that's exactly right. And Tony, if I could put it this way, I don't know what authority these governors and mayors have to actually say that somebody's an essential business and somebody's a non-essential business. But what I have seen is Americans becoming increasingly oppressed both on the rights side, but also on the economic rights side. So we've got to recognize that, and we've got to basically say it's time to open it up. I think we can do both. I think we can open it up, and I think people will respect it. I trust the American people, and I think they will be respectful and make sure that people are safe because they don't want to spread not just this disease or any disease. I think it's time to do it. As you know, we're probably pushing well over 25 million unemployed today, and I think it's time to say let's get back to work.
You just highlighted what I think is a fundamental difference between, and I hate to go partisan on this, but I just have to. Basically, it is the dividing line where you said, I trust the American people. Well, President Trump has trusted the governors of our country based upon the guidance put out by the CDC to craft a way forward for their states when it came to dealing with the threat of this virus. You said you trust the American people. Republicans tend to trust people to make good decisions. The Democrats, liberals, feel like they have to make decisions for everyone. And we're seeing that right now play out in the states where Republican states kind of lifting the restrictions, allowing people to put in place best practices, where the Democrats want to keep a lid on everything.
Yeah, and I don't know why that is. I have my theories on that. I'm a big believer that that when you want to expand the size and scope of government, you inherently move to this authoritarian type of style of governance. Whereas if you want to move to freedom, you're going to say, look, let's go with this. And the Jeffersonian model is, let's trust the people. I mean, Jefferson and Madison, they would always say, we're going to trust the American people, even though they might have disagreed and had a different idea of what should happen. They always said, trust the American people.
Yeah, when you look at the markets, I mean, you look at business. And, of course, that's just a part of reopening. I mean, it's reopening society. I mean, everybody's been basically, in isolation in their homes for 40 days. You know, businesses are going to have to create best practices to convince people it's safe to come back into their establishment. I mean, after people have been locked away for 40 days, they realize there's a problem here, that this virus is a threat. So they're going to be very cautious about venturing out. I mean, even I'm going to share a quote with you from this is Governor Cuomo yesterday in a press conference. He said, it's one thing for government to say, okay, it's safe to go out. If people don't believe it's safe, they're not going to go. And he's right. Government can't flip a switch and say, everybody go back to normal. But what they can do is allow people to make those decisions based upon what the establishments that they're going to go to, churches, businesses, restaurants, what they do to entice people to come into their doors, assuring them that they're safe. That's how this is going to work.
Well, that's exactly right, Tony. I mean, what you said, if we unpacked it, there's probably three main points there. Number one is that freedom requires accountability, and that's really important. We don't talk about the accountability portion of that very often. But second of all, we've had certain civil rights basically abrogated, like religious freedom, and you can't take those rights away. And I guess the third thing is, the market system itself will determine what businesses are essential and non-essential.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't feel safe, then you are certainly welcome to stay home and not patronize an establishment that where you don't feel safe.
You don't need somebody to tell you to do that.
That's exactly right. I mean, look, I don't go to certain establishments because I don't like the product, I don't like what's happening, whatever it may be. I'm making those decisions. And if I'm in business and I want to entice you back, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. So if I've got a furniture store, I'm going to say, look, you know, it's a 2,000 square foot furniture store, whatever it may be. And I feel that we're only going to allow 5 people in the store plus our 2 sales personnel. And we're going to be dressed in PPE and whatever. They're going to make the decisions and I get to make the decision.
Right.
You know what we call that? That's freedom.
Yeah.
That's freedom.
And that's what makes what makes America an exceptional nation. It's what makes America the envy of the world. We don't have government dictating every step that the American people take. I think you would agree, and feel free to disagree with me, but I think the president took the reasonable steps, given the information he had, and I think because he did, he saved the nation from having a much higher death rate than what we did from the coronavirus. But he's been saying this, and I know you're a part of his congressional group to restart America. I think he sees it the same way. All right, it's time to begin opening things back up for business.
No, that's right. I mean, first of all, I would say, Tony, it's important to realize that I can't think of, other than a couple of travel bans, I can't think of too many mandates that the federal government would put on anybody's business and their basic rights. That wasn't done by the federal government. That was done by state and local governments. And that's where the problem has been, is they've some of them have turned into petty tyrants, and that's just doggone unfortunate.
The president has put forth guidance.
Exactly. And I think that is a much more responsible way to do it. I mean, you've got experts, and I agree with some of them. There are other experts that disagree with some of those experts. But the point is, he has provided guidelines, not mandates. The states have tried to provide mandates, and that's where the rub is in trying to open this up. And so it gets back to another point, not just on the freedom side, but on the federalism side. I'm all for letting the states govern. Let your governor govern with the legislature. But if you're taking away fundamental rights, then I think I appreciate what Attorney General Barr said, and I agree with him a lot. I disagree with him some, but I will tell you what he said yesterday is absolutely correct when he said we've got to make sure that these states are not violating people's constitutional rights.
Yeah.
And that's critical to this. So this is not just something set aside, but I tell you what makes it easy, Tony, is what you suggested earlier, and I think you're right. If I can go to the grocery store and I can go to the big box hardware store or other big box stores, and with all these people and those stores are basically enforcing social distancing to come into their stores, guess what? People feel safe. They're going in. You could do that at the furniture store, at the hobby store, at the thrift store, whatever it may be, you can do this. And that way you're protecting both the public and also the economy. And it's not a binary choice, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's extremely important. And I'm going to talk about that coming up next with Scott Rasmussen, that we don't have to choose one or the other. We can do both. I mean, as Americans, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. And I think what the best approach, and you touched on this, the best approach is what the president has done in giving guidance to the states. He's given resources to them and said, look, here's the situation, but you know what's best for your community. Well, the governors then need to turn around and take the same approach to the mayors. The mayors need to take the same approach to the businesses in their community. Look, here's the guidelines. You need to keep this distancing. You need to make sure that you have proper sanitation and all of these things. But you know what's best. You know how to serve your congregation, your customers. And I just think they need to back off, or they're going to lose the support because people are not going to stay confined for much longer.
Right, and that's why you're seeing this nascent movement is actually taking hold, where people are saying, look, we need to get out. I mean, I saw a sign the other day from a rally somewhere, and it said, my choice, my body, I choose to work, and which is kind of a play on the old pro-choice folks. But I thought it was pretty funny. But I thought also it reflects what so many people are calling me with, saying, I want to work. I want to open up my business. I'm talking to people who are saying, if we wait two more weeks, I am done, even with PPP, because it's not going to help. And that's why I keep saying we need to be doing this sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I'm hearing the same thing all across the country, and it's true. It's time to, in a reasonable, safe fashion, open society back up again. Congressman Andy Biggs, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon from Capitol Hill. I know you guys are voting on the CARES Act additional funds for the PPP. So we appreciate you joining us this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thanks, Tony.
All right. Folks, don't go away because there's more Washington Watch to come. Scott Rasmussen is here next. Going to talk about what are Americans thinking? What do they want to see opened up? Do they want to see it opened up? What do they want? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk with Congressman Roger Marshall as well. Been working with coronavirus patients. And Ken Blackwell. We're going to have a good conversation about federalism. Don't go away. We're back after this. Is historic masculinity lost forever? Where can boys, young men, husbands, and fathers find a model of manhood, leadership, and strength in a culture of gender confusion? We need men to be men, tough with compassionate strength, bent toward justice without compromise, locking arms and standing. We need to be the men God created us to be and fight for all that is right, true, and just. This is Tony Perkins inviting you to join us at a Stand Courageous Men's Conference. To find out more, go to standcourageous.com. This conference is led by men who are seasoned, compassionate men who understand the issues of the day and will invest in you, helping you understand your role as a defender, a provider, an instructor, a battle buddy, and a chaplain, so that you can have the generational influence that God has designed you to have. Learn more at StandCourageous.com. That's StandCourageous.com.
Did you know that Planned Parenthood is the primary supplier of abortions in the U.S.? According to Planned Parenthood's most recent annual report, it committed over 345,000 abortions in fiscal year 2018. That means, on average, Planned Parenthood aborted 1,768 babies every single day in 2018. And while Planned Parenthood's report revealed an increase in abortions committed, many of the services they provide, such as breast exams and cancer screenings, have drastically decreased. FRC recently released its 2020 edition of The Real Planned Parenthood, Leading the Culture of Death. In this resource, you will find many facts revealing the truth, that Planned Parenthood is in the business of abortion, not healthcare. To access this resource and to find out more, go to frc.org/Planned Parenthood Facts. That's frc.org/Planned Parenthood Facts.
We can all benefit from a good lecture. They inform you and grow you. But sometimes you can't make it in person to every talk, seminar, or lecture you'd like to. Fortunately, Family Research Council now has a new podcast, so you won't miss out. FRC's new weekly podcast, called Lecture Me, was created to help inform and equip listeners on the biggest issues affecting our culture today. Each episode presents a lecture selected from the archives of the FRC Speaker Series. Our podcast features today's top thinkers who address important issues like religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture, all from a biblical worldview. Make sure to stay tuned after each lecture to hear FRC's thoughts on the content as they further discuss the topic at hand. The Lecture Me podcast is available wherever podcasts are found, or visit frc.org/podcasts.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Now, as I said before at the beginning of the program, we don't do this often, but focusing on one topic, because I think it's a big topic. It's an important topic. It's about whether or not we're ready to open society up again. And we were just talking with Congressman Andy Biggs about the economy and getting the economy going again. We're going to talk with Congressman Roger Marshall later about the health risk. I mean, he's a medical doctor, actually been working with the COVID patients. But those two things are not mutually exclusive. And, you know, we're hearing all these polls that people are afraid. They don't want to go to work. Well, do they want to stay home? Or is there something in between here? And to find that answer, I reached out to the person I think is best at discerning what the American people are thinking. And that is my good friend Scott Rasmussen, pollster and publisher of ScottRasmussen.com, author, and just a great all-around guy. Scott, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, Tony, it's great to be with you, but I must say it's a very strange time. I live in New York City, but for anybody in the nation, it's just hard to believe what we're going through.
It is, but, you know, I've kind of been conditioned with this in the last 20 years in the South, where we've gone through natural disaster after natural disaster, and it's, you know, it's kind of stuff we read about in Scripture almost. I think we're seeing that unfolding before our eyes. And a lot of this is how we deal with it. As I've talked to a number of pastors and churches that are embracing the challenge, they don't like it, but they're embracing it. They're doing well. But I want to talk about the big question. Is it time to reopen society? You've put forth a point that, look, I think the pollsters are asking the wrong question. We need to be asking something else. What is it?
Well, first off, you framed it better than most pollsters have and better than most political folks have. You're talking about reopening society, not just reopening the economy. You know, the way the storyline has unfolded, there was this pandemic, and for a brief period of time, people said, yes, we need to lock things down, stop this from spreading. And the presumption was that if we open up business, if we open up the economy, it's going to put lives at risk. It was a safety versus the economy risk. That's not really what we're with anymore. That's not the situation we have, because now we're seeing, on the one hand, There's been an increase in alcohol consumption and anti-anxiety medications and antidepressant medications, reports of increased domestic violence. People are not exercising. These are real health risks. So the stay-at-home orders bring health risks, too, just as much as going out in public. And at some point, the trade-off switches the other way. So we need to focus not just on the idea that going out is dangerous. It's a question of relative dangers, and there are certainly offsetting benefits. Tony, when we ask people what are the top priorities that you would like to do if somebody were to lift a lockdown order, what should come first? Well, not surprisingly, the answer is we'd like to go to our friends' houses. We'd like to get together with people. Number two on the list is to open up churches and religious services. People are looking for that community. And in all of this, though, we have to remember, when we go to church or take part in any other activity after this pandemic, it's not going to be exactly like it was before. We are going to be more conscious of different safety concerns, and that's a good thing.
Well, that awareness changes behavior. And so, yeah. I mean, I've been saying, you don't put people away in their homes for 40 days and not change their behavior and communicate to them that there is a big issue here in front of them. I mean, God kept Moses on the mountain for 40 days and let him go. I'm sure that was a part of changing the way he was thinking. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. I caution government to don't keep us much longer than that. But the issue here is I think behavior is going to change. And we've got to give enough latitude and freedom, in my view, to businesses, restaurants, churches to change their behavior to welcome people back into their doors.
Absolutely. You know, this is the way America works. Everybody has a role to play in governing society. When they open up restaurants in our city here, some people will be excited and run right out the door, but many are going to hold back and they're going to wait for the restaurant owners to demonstrate that it's safe, that maybe the tables aren't quite as close together as they used to be, or maybe some other steps have been taken. And by the way, those restaurant owners are also going to have to convince their employees that it's safe to come back to work. So tapping into that will be an important part of it. And that's something that, again, it's not just the responsibility of our political leaders to flip a switch and say, let's go. This is going to be a process where we collectively will learn how to behave in this new environment. And, Tony, there's one other part to this and something I've been writing about. This change, this 40 days of being stuck at home or stay at home, comes after four decades of trying to deal with a digital revolution that has changed the way we communicate, changed the way we exchange information. And what's happened in the last month or so is a lot of people have been forced to deal with it in ways they never expected to. Older people are using Zoom for the first time. Tens of millions of parents are homeschooling for the first time. These are changes not just in our daily behavior, but they're forcing us to come to grips with this new technology that we've been wrestling with for decades. And I think that is going to have a profound impact on what happens next.
I agree 100%. I mean, it takes 18 to 21 days to form a habit. If you're talking about 40 days, you've changed people's habits and the way they see yeah. life. And when you combine that with a traumatic experience, being laid off, losing a job, financial insecurity, it has an even more significant impact upon one's view of life in the world. So I think we're in for some substantial change. And, I would ask you as a pollster, do you think Americans are ready for that?
Absolutely. Look, nobody likes change. We like the end result of change, but we don't like the transition.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it. We need to be safe and we need to work.
I agree. And I think that's what in part makes America an exceptional nation. We've done it before. We'll do it again. If the politicians will, well, it's going to happen one way or the other, regardless. Scott Rasmussen, thanks so much for joining us. Always, always great to talk with you.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, folks, don't go away. More Washington Watch to come. On the other side of this break, Congressman Roger Marshall from Kansas, been working with COVID patients. He joins us next here on Washington Watch.
What are you reading this spring? At FRCblog.com, we have timely and original commentary on the issues facing our culture today. Our blog is written by our policy experts, the Family Research Council team, and outside contributors. On our blog, you can read about a wide variety of topics, including religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture. Some of our most recent blog posts include, "To abandon the nuclear family ideal is to abandon being human." "Why does the abortion industry hate women?" "China uses coronavirus to oppress religious minorities," and many more. At Family Research Council, our mission is to advance faith, family, and freedom in the culture by helping you to live out your faith and to stand for truth. With our blog, we hope to help you do that. Stay informed and get the resources you need at FRCblog.com. Again, that's FRCblog.com.
The Fairness for All Act was recently introduced to the House of Representatives after the passage of the Equality Act. In response, FRC has come out with a new publication, The Unfairness of the Fairness for All Act. This act attempts to find a compromise between the First Amendment protection of religious freedom and the demands of the LGBT community. Despite having the best intentions, it is an ill-advised and poorly drafted bill that does not achieve its goal. If this act is passed into law, it would allow the federal government to impose a belief system and ideology about sexual behavior and identity on all Americans. The Fairness for All Act would negatively impact religious freedom, true equality, and the privacy and safety of women. To access this resource and to learn more, go to frc.org/fairnessforall. That's frc.org/fairnessforall.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host, and the website is tonyperkins.com. Many of you have already taken the poll. Let me put it out there for you again. Text radio to 53445. That's 53445, the word radio, and you'll get the link to take the poll. Here's the question. Do you believe it's time for state and local officials to give more freedom to individuals, churches, businesses, and restaurants, trusting them to balance the coronavirus health risk with reopening society? Let me know what you think. Radio, text the word radio to 53445. All right, the U.S. is closing in on nearly 850,000 confirmed cases of the coronavirus, which has resulted in over 45,000 deaths in just over 6 weeks. The reason for the CDC guidelines that the president has been promoting and the physical distancing that includes was to flatten the curve, making sure that our health care facilities were not overrun. Now, people like to make a comparison to the number of deaths annually from the flu. Now, those deaths, which generally are estimates because they don't know exactly that people died from the flu or influenza, but that's over a much larger time frame. I mean, 6 weeks, 45,000 deaths, that's a lot. Here to talk about the current and future risk associated with the virus is Dr. Congressman Roger Marshall from Kansas, who right now is working with COVID-19 patients. Dr. Marshall, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's good to hear your voice almost in person. I got to tell you, I'm about to, it was going crazy staying at home, and it's just good to hear the voice of friends. So thanks for letting me come on your show and share part of our story.
Well, absolutely. And just context, Dr. Marshall represents the 1st Congressional District. He is a medical doctor, and he is now walking back in the role of a medical doctor working with the COVID-19 patients. So what's it like there in Kansas? What's the situation like?
Well, it is spotty, is what I would say. Is there's little communities where there's outbreaks, and it's been serious. The worst days are behind us. I would say a lot of the places were at that plateau phase. Now, I've got counties that have not had 10 cases. I may have a couple of counties, just two or three as well. So every community is different. And like I said, I think the good news is I think the worst days are behind us.
And that's my daughter is actually a nurse, a trauma nurse, but has been working with, volunteered to work with COVID-19 patients. So she's been dealing with that since the outbreak in Louisiana. And she says as well, it's still happening, but it's slowing down. We've probably reached that plateau point as well. But this is a serious virus, and is especially for some high-risk categories, age, underlying health issues. So it's not something to be easily dismissed like the flu.
Oh, you're right, Tony. Yeah, I visited with some of my medical school classmates from Kansas University Medical Center. They still have 30, 40 people in their ICU, and they're scarred for life. I mean, these are doctors that have been around a lot, and I could just tell from the tone of their voice, A, they're tired. They've been working their tails off. The doctors and nurses, so many great people out there. We have the best healthcare system in the world. But it is a very serious virus. You do not want this if you're over the age of 65. If you have any underlying medical problem, type 2 diabetes messes with your immune system. And we have an epidemic of type 2 diabetes in this country, unfortunately. So, no, you do not want this virus.
So, Dr. Marshall, you know, now that you've had hands-on experience with this virus and dealing with the patients, talking to some of your colleagues, I mean, we know the threat is real. But can we balance that threat with moving back out and opening society again?
Tony, we have to. There is a responsible and safe way to start opening certain parts of the country. And it's going to really go down to this concept of a community having community responsibility. Now, we're not going to be able to go back and go to a Chiefs game quite yet here in Kansas yet. But we can start talking about it. And that's really the discussion we had with the medical center and some of the leaders across the state. And I've been talking to doctors and hospitals now for a couple weeks. What does that look like? And what we need is more testing availability and probably more PPEs as well. So I think that there's a safe way to do it. Those discussions need to be happening. And then, again, we need a community responsibility, though. I think that people are much bigger risk of going to the grocery store and catching this than they are going to work.
Yeah. And I think I like the community responsibility because the president, I was just talking about this earlier, the president gave responsibility to the governors, gave resources, gave guidance, but then let them craft the best practices for them. Governors need to do the same thing for communities, and communities need to do the same thing for businesses and churches and others. Allow them to develop those best practices.
Exactly. And what I've been challenging the healthcare folks in each community is to reach out to their own businesses around town. There's infectious disease nurses at hospitals, at county health clinics that are some sharp, sharp people. We need to get them involved out in the private sector. You know, be talking to the local schools and to the local businesses. What does that look like going forward? But this will not be solved at the federal level. It's going to be solved at the local community level now.
Yeah, absolutely. And from home to home. And we need to take personal responsibility in how we maintain our own health, how we maintain, you know, proper hygiene, all of that. We all have a part to play. Dr. Roger Marshall, thanks so much for joining us and appreciate what you're doing for the folks there in Kansas and for the rest of us across America standing up for faith, family, and freedom.
Thank you, Tony. You can live in fear, you can live in faith. My family's going to live with faith and hope. Thanks for having me on today.
Amen. Absolutely. All right, folks, don't go away. Ken Blackwell joins me for what I think is going to be a very interesting discussion on the other side of this break. Don't go away. Where can young men, husbands, and fathers find a model of real manhood, leadership, and strength in today's culture of gender confusion? This is Tony Perkins inviting you to join us at a Stand Courageous Men's Conference led by men who are seasoned, compassionate men who understand the issues of the day and will help you understand your role as a defender, provider, instructor, battle buddy, and chaplain so that you can have the generational influence God has designed you to have. Learn more at StandCourageous.com.
Recently, a bill called the Fairness for All Act was introduced to the House of Representatives. In response, FRC has a new resource, the Unfairness of the Fairness for All Act. This act attempts to find a compromise between the First Amendment's protection of religious freedom and the demands of the LGBT community. But, unfortunately, it is a poorly drafted bill that would negatively impact religious freedom, true equality, and the privacy and safety of women. Learn more at frc.org/fairness for all.
Did you know that Planned Parenthood is the primary supplier of abortions in the U.S.? According to Planned Parenthood's most recent annual report, it committed over 345,000 abortions in fiscal year 2018. That means, on average, Planned Parenthood aborted 1,768 babies every single day in 2018. And while Planned Parenthood's report revealed an increase in abortions committed, many of the services they provide, such as breast exams and cancer screenings, have drastically decreased. FRC recently released its 2020 edition of The Real Planned Parenthood, Leading the Culture of Death. In this resource, you will find many facts revealing the truth, that Planned Parenthood is in the business of abortion, not healthcare. To access this resource and to find out more, go to frc.org/Planned Parenthood Facts. That's frc.org/Planned Parenthood Facts.
We can all benefit from a good lecture. They inform you and grow you. But sometimes you can't make it in person to every talk, seminar, or lecture you'd like to. Fortunately, Family Research Council now has a new podcast, so you won't miss out. FRC's new weekly podcast, called Lecture Me, was created to help inform and equip listeners on the biggest issues affecting our culture today. Each episode presents a lecture selected from the archives of the FRC Speaker Series. Our podcast features today's top thinkers who address important issues like religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture, all from a biblical worldview. Make sure to stay tuned after each lecture to hear FRC's thoughts on the content as they further discuss the topic at hand. The Lecture Me podcast is available wherever podcasts are found, or visit frc.org/podcasts.
You're listening to Washington Watch, and I'm Tony Perkins, your host. So glad that you are with us on this Thursday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, here's the poll question one more time. I want to hear from you. We've been talking about this the entire program. Don't do this very often, but dedicating the entire program to one topic, and that is it time to reopen America? Do you believe it's time for state and local officials to give more freedom to individuals, churches, businesses, and restaurants, trusting them to balance the coronavirus health risk with reopening society? Let me know what you think. Text the word radio to 53445. The number 53445, the word radio. And I'll send you a link to take the survey. And at the end of the program, I'm going to give you the results. Look, I have been very, very clear about this from the beginning. I think we should abide by the CDC guidelines. I am a law and order guy, right? That's just the way I am. And I think that the guidelines have come that the president put out, the CDC, have been reasonable. I supported, you know, we went to the 15 days and then extended it. I supported that. And I think the president has been messaging, communicating in the last few weeks that, look, it's time to begin easing back and allowing society to open again. Now, some governors are having a hard time doing that. I think it's time that they begin to back off, because I think we've got to trust the American people to be able to make choices for themselves. I think that, look, if there's risk, you don't want to go out, don't go out. But I don't think you have to have someone to tell you to stay at home. Now, I'm not a good example of this because I don't go out to restaurants. I eat at home. My wife is a great cook. I love to eat her food. It's healthier, tastes better. I don't go to sporting events. That's not my thing. I go to church. I go ride my bike, spend time with my family. So, you know, this hasn't been that disruptive for our family. But I think people need to be able to make their choices. I think churches are going to have to adapt to make sure they're safe environments and they're communicating to their congregants that it's safe to come in. They're going to have to adapt their policies to encourage those in high-risk age categories or health categories to stay home and participate in another way, either online or maybe have drive-in services or separate services for the elderly or for those in high-risk categories. I mean, they're going to figure that out. But the officials need to let them do that. Now, joining me now to talk more about this is because we've heard different perspectives. We've heard from congressmen that are a part of the president's Reopening America committee. We've heard from a congressman who's a doctor. We've heard from pollster. But I want to talk now to a former mayor of the city of Cincinnati, former secretary of state of Ohio, and a member of the FRC team. And that is my good friend Ken Blackwell. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Good to be with you, sir.
All right. I don't think this is real complicated. I mean, I think we took some initial, what even the president said, drastic steps to try to flatten the curve. I think it's worked. I mean, we've only seen, I mean, it's significant, about 45,000 deaths, but it could have been much worse. In fact, the projections were that we were going to possibly reach 200,000. So it's worked, but now it's time to adopt a different chapter in the, write a new chapter in this. Is it not?
Yes, it is, Tony. And I think we ought to start with the fact and push back on this the left's desire to expand the role of government in our lives in the midst of this pandemic. What we want is to deepen faith, strengthen families, and advance liberty, not the dependency on government. And as you and I, who have been elected officials, we know that God is the provider of our liberty, the family is the incubator, and a very solid principle of subsidiarity is a principle of social organization that holds that, you know, social and political issues and decisions should be dealt with first by the individual and the family, then by local government, that for the most part are at the point of providing services, then state government and then the federal government. So as a mayor, we first have to have trust in God, faith in families, and we have to celebrate freedom. The strategy of tapping back and harnessing individual liberty and freedom will eventually erode the trust of the people. We have to trust them as leaders. And you nailed it. You know, we have to understand that the American people, you know, are smart people. We don't hide in the midst of a crisis. We push back intelligently against it. We know what we have to do, but it's now time to open up the society. It's not an either or. You know, it's not a public health strategy versus an economic strategy. We actually know that if we stay, you know, away from reopening our society, our country, that what we will do is just crash our economy and create also the economic havoc that has associated with it death and misery. So this is, we need an intelligent way of pushing back. It has to be measured. It has to be consistent with what we know that works.
Right. Well, I think the key component that you mentioned is you have to trust the people, because
that's
if
right.
if you don't trust the people, your only option is tyranny.
Absolutely. And, you know, we understand from an economic standpoint all the notions of demand disruption and supply disruption. We know from a public health situation that it's important to develop herd immunity and to develop vaccines and treatments that can mitigate the spread of the crime, and to take great social action steps to accomplish those ends. But at the end of the day, you know, it is no accident why we are the most prosperous and the freest constitutional republic in the history of the world. It is because we, in fact, cherish liberty. And
right.
We trust the people.
You mentioned herd immunity. That requires that we get out and we move about. My concern is if some of these, and I see a kind of I mentioned this earlier with Andy Biggs, my observation, it's casual, it could be wrong, I'm speaking with broad language here, but I've seen the Republican governors seem to take a similar approach that President Trump has taken. Guidance, not heavy-handed. eager to back off and allow people to make decisions for themselves. The Democrats, not so much so. And so if we don't, you know, we want this herd immunity, that means people have to congregate, move around, and build up the immunity. But
gradually.
I'm going to tell you, yeah, gradually. If we don't get it, I think we're on the verge of a stampede, because I think people are tired of this heavy-handed of government. I mean, we've got, it's time to begin easing back into opening up society and doing what you just said, balancing both the health risk and the economic and social opportunities that we have as Americans to be free and make our own decisions.
Right. And I think leaders have to inspire hope. And that's one of the things that I love about this president. He inspires hope. He is not a defeatist. You know, and we know that what has made us a great economic force is that we have the freedom to and the innovation to create opportunities. Tony, you and I talk about this all the time. There's this one model that wants to expand the welfare state. There's another model that wants to create an opportunity society. America is at its best when it is, in fact, following that model of creating an opportunity society. And leaders have to begin to bring people together. And
right.
So those three things, inspire hope, create opportunity, and bring people together, that's what our president is doing.
And allowing creativity. I mean, look how he has dealt with this crisis. Not only is he, you know, given power back to the states, he's given resources to and guidance to make decisions, but he's removed regulations to allow the private sector to do its best work in solving our problems. He doesn't see government as the solution to everything. That's where I see the disconnect between the two major political parties, because the blue states, the Democratic states, tend to want to control all power because they see government as really the only one that can solve problems. They don't have confidence in the people. And I'm saying we've got to allow people, businesses, to get back into this new world, this post-corona world, and create an environment that is conducive to doing business. Churches are going to have to convince people it's safe to come in. So I think people can handle it from here as government begins to back off and give more freedom.
Absolutely. And you know, Tony, I'm in your choir. God is the provider of our liberty, and the family is the incubator of our liberty. And we are a people that enjoys liberty and the fruits of that liberty, and that is an expanding economy and the creation of opportunity. That's, you know, we cannot go into the corner and wring our hands and be fearful. That's
no.
Not the American way.
But let me ask you, do you think that there are some in the media that are trying to do just that? Because I read these stories, like I'm just going to read you an AP story from today.
Mm-hmm.
It says the outbreak has infected over 2.5 million people and killed about 180,000 around the world, including more than 45,000 in the United States, according to a tally compiled by Johns Hopkins University from official government figures, though the true numbers are believed to be far higher. I mean, that's the kind of stuff they insert in there. Just, really, it's more than that? I mean, just trying to scare people.
Right. And one of the things I'm part of the leadership council of a coalition of the coalition to save our country, and basically what I've said into that discussion is that this is about sensible risk management. Tony, mm-hmm. So every day that we're alive, we have to work our way through a series of risks, whether it's wearing seat belts, whether it's crossing in the crosswalk. I mean, there are actions that we take every day to reduce or mitigate risk. That's what we're talking about. Well, you know, life is not risk-free. It is about smartly managing those risks. And what happens is that some in the media try to scare the American people into abandoning the model that has made us, you know, again, the freest and most prosperous in society in all of human history, and out of fear to give up our liberty and become humanoids and subjects.
Yeah.
We are citizens of the United States, and we are smart.
Yeah, and we have to take responsibility. You go back to the family unit, and you go back to that basic trust in God. You know, you look at that dollar bill. What does it say? In God we trust.
We trust. Absolutely. You know,
and that is the essence. It's the essence of what makes America an exceptional nation. I do appreciate the fact, and I've talked about this all week on the program, about how the president has used a federalism approach to this.
That's right.
And that he hasn't expanded government with new agencies. You know, we don't have the coronavirus agency, you know, or some new agency that's going to, you know, shepherd this thing through that will never go away. And, you know, he has faith and confidence in the American people. When I talked to him last week on a call, I encouraged him to encourage governors to give more leeway and freedom to churches to get back open again by best practices in securing their facilities so people can come in. You know, people's behavior will be altered by this, no question about it. But it's now time, in my view, and I'm being repetitive intentionally, it is time for government to begin to back off and allow people to make those best choices for them and to allow those community institutions that you talked about to adapt to this new world. It's time.
Absolutely, Tony. And the other thing that we know is that throughout the scriptures, we are told, be unafraid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be unafraid.
Absolutely right. And those are good words to end on. Ken Blackwell, as always, my friend, great to have you on the program today.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for the leadership.
Ken, before you leave, I want you to know this: the virus is not going to affect our hunt in the fall. Okay.
There you go, brother.
All right. Okay.
All right.
All right, Ken Blackwell. So good to have him on the program, and no fear, absolutely no reason to be fearful. This is a time, yes, of great challenge, difficulty. Look, the Lord's promises are true. And he has told us to be anxious for nothing but by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto him. And he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of sound mind. And so don't be fearful. Be confident. Be careful and use good judgment. I mean, this is a real virus, but we don't have to be afraid. Just need to use hand sanitizer, wash your hands, you know, keep your distance. If you're older or at a health risk, you know, take care of yourself. But you can do that. All right, here's the poll results very quickly, wrapping up. 96% said yes, it's time. It's time. 4% said no. All right, folks, I leave you with this once again. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul when he says, you've done everything you can do when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand. By all means, keep standing. Just make sure it's 6 feet apart.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.